إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ما بعد. I welcome all of you, and once again we continue reading from this book, Al-Ajwa Al-Mufida, and As'ilat Al-Manahij Al-Jadida, Beneficial Answers to Questions on Innovative Methodologies. And just from the name, Innovative Methodologies, they oppose the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. These are people who are upon innovations. Upon innovations in the deen of Allah. And innovations are haram and strictly forbidden in the deen of Allah. Because the Prophet ﷺ says, وَكُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ دَلَالَةٍ And in the narration in Nasa'i, وَكُلُّ دَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ Every newly invented matter is dalala, is astray, is misguidance, and is in the hellfire. So it's good to know the haqq, to know the truth, but you have to know also what opposes it. The same way applies, you know, tawheed. That's why Allah created us, but you need to know shirk too. Why you know shirk? So that you don't fall into it. You know the sunnah, but you know the bid'ah. You adhere to the way of the salaf, sahaba, but you have to be aware of the way of the innovators. And the deviant sects. As the Prophet ﷺ tells us that this ummah will split into 73 sects, all of them in the hellfire except one. So there is only one sect upon the haqq, al-firq al-najiyah, the saved sect, al-taif al-mansura, the victorious group. Who is one? Likewise, the Sirat is one. In the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, when the Prophet ﷺ, he draw a line. قَالَ خَطَّ لَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ خَطَّ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ The Prophet ﷺ, he draw a straight line. That's the path of Allah. And he said, this is the Siratullah. This is the path that leads to the Jannah. The path that leads to the pleasure of Allah. As the ulama, they explain this. And also the Prophet ﷺ, he draw lines to its right and to its left. And he said, ﷺ, indeed, upon every one of these lines and these paths, there is a shaitan calling to it. So the Sirat al-Mustaqim is one, that which the Sahaba they were upon. And of course, after the death and the killing of Uthman radiallahu anhu, بدأ التفرق division become to appear and certain people began to disseminate ideologies that opposes that which the Sahaba were upon Ridwanullah alayhim. It started by the Khawarij, then the Qadariya, and Murji'a, and Mu'tazila, and Shia, and keep going. In the Asha'ira after that and the like, deviant sects, deviant groups, who they are not upon, that was the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim they were upon. So this is very important for us to know, because some people who don't know this matter, like all Muslims, we're all Muslims, ya akhi, don't talk about this. Why you talk about the Ikhwan Muslimin? They Muslims. Why you guys warring against Sufis? They Muslim brothers. They didn't do nothing to you. They didn't do nothing to you. Why you mention tablighis? Liram Allah akhi. These are just people who they give up some of them shut down his business, some quit his job, some leave his family with nothing to go give da'wah for the sake of Allah. Now the ulama, they said, those people, they're not giving da'wah for the sake of Allah. They're giving da'wah for the sake of their founder, Muhammad Ilyas. Because those who give da'wah for the sake of Allah, they are those who adhere to what Allah revealed. Because Allah says, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرًا. Say, this is my way, I'm calling to Allah upon basira, not upon what their founder tell them to do. You know, this is very important for us to know. Muslims are not on the same page. If the Prophet ﷺ said that, they are not on the same page. So who is going to come and say, no. Shia, Sufis, Tabligh, Ikhwan, Takfiris, Khawarij, Salafis, they are all the same. They're not the same. We're talking about. They're not the same. The Salafi is not a Takfiri. The true Salafi who adhere to what the Salaf was upon, were upon, to the Sahaba were upon, he is not a Khariji from the Khawarij. A Salafi is not a Takfiri. A Salafi is not Ikhwani and Tablighi and Sufi and Mu'tazili and Jahmi. Because none of the Salaf was those things. None of our Salaf who we adhere to, the Salaf, they were not upon the Madhab of the Khawarij. Rather, Ali radiallahu anhu, when he went and called and established the proof against the Khawarij, he said to them, I don't see one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ with you, not even one. How could you be on the haqq? I tell you that what they are upon is upon falsehood. Waliyadu billah. So it's very important for us to know this, the innovated methodologies, so that we can be aware of them and we don't follow their path. And if we come across someone who is being affected by them, we explain to them, at least we do our part. The first type of guidance, hidayatul irshad wal bayan, we make clear the matter. Yes, that person is a Muslim, but it's not upon the way of the Salaf. There's only one path, the path of Allah, siratullah. But there is the path of the shayateen. So the Prophet ﷺ said, there is a shaitan upon every one of those paths. So which one do you want? You want to be with the path of Allah or the path that the shayateen call to? Which one? Aynam. And then if they accept it, alhamdulillah. They don't accept it, it's not up to us. Laysa alayka hudahum. The second type of guidance, hidayatu tawfiq, the guidance of success and doing what is right, that's only for Allah. People, they've been hearing the haqq for years, they don't accept it. Person been upon batil for years, they hear the haqq once. Allah opened his heart to it, and mashallah, he had heart to it. May Allah keep us firm upon the Nabi Salaf, ameen. The last point we mentioned was the point number 28. The question number 28, and it was about this man, Muhammad Surur bin Naif Zin al-Abidin. This is a Hizbi, a person, Muhammad Surur. This man, he created a big fitna some 20 years ago, created a big fitna by bringing a deviant methodology in talking bad about the ulama of Ahl-Sunnah al-Jama'ah, talking bad and warning against them and exposing them, and so to separate the people from the ulama. Because once the people are separated from the ulama, they don't know what to do. They are confused. They're confused. And they want to attach the people to themselves and to those who are with them on the same falsehood, you see? So, we started with this man and in his book, because he has a book called Manhaj al-Anbiya fi al-Da'wah ila Allah, the methodology of the prophets and according to Allah. And we told you, do not mistake this one with the great book of our noble Shaykh al-Allama, Shaykh Rabi' bin Hadi al-Madkhali, hafidhahullah. So sometimes you may find the same title, or the titles are similar, but you gotta look at the author too. Like here, somebody may give you, say, I got a good book for you. What is it? Manhaj al-Anbiya fi da'wa ila Allah. It's like, subhanAllah, that's a great book. The methodology of the Prophet. This man didn't say our methodology, we're the deviant sect of sororities. No, they cowards, they don't say that. They all want to claim just to be upon the Sunnah. And so he says the methodology of the Prophets in calling to Allah. You see? And you see how this man was talking bad about the books of Aqidah. In the previous class, he says that these books of Aqidah, they are written for another time, other than our time. And they got no solution. They don't bring the solutions for the problems of this time. Because they just text from Quran and Sunnah. And they dry. And we all heard the answer of our Shaykh, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala. The next question. Okay. I think they in the English translation they miss a book. I mean, it's a question. Ala ayin. We're going to continue to read, as I mentioned, from the English text. Alhamdulillah. So then the Sheikh was asked, what is the stance we should take with regard to this book that was just mentioned? The methodology of the prophets. The answer to this question, of course, the book of this man was written by his deviant man, Muhammad Surur, who As-Sururiyya, this is a deviant sect now, they are attributed to him, because of him, he was the founder, and he's the one who started to call to that evil. The Shaykh says, identify the diseases that are found in the book. So to warn the people against them, so they know who this man is. And request that it be removed from the bookstores. These books should be removed from the bookstores and not allowed to enter to the kingdom of Saudi Arabia. In the footnote, he mentioned that the Sheikh, the noble Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, the noble Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, and this is one of the great scholars of our time. He died in the year 1999 CE. CE or EC, which one? CE? Alright. So I'll make sure. Tayyib. This great noble Shaykh, he was one of the great Mashayikh, he was the Mufti of his time, rahimahullah, was a great man, a great alim, an allama. The noble Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, was asked during a lecture titled Consequences of the Tongue, which he delivered on the 12th, meaning Dhul Hijjah, or 29th, the 29th of Dhul Hijjah on the year 1413 of the Hijrah, in the city of the Ta'if, about Muhammad Surur Zain al-Abidin, and he stands towards the books of creed, as we learned in the previous class, which was mentioned in the previous question, and he replied, the Sheikh Ibn Baz said, this is a huge error. The books of creed, then he said, the correct stance with regard to them is that there is no coerceness in them. no dryness, as he claimed, this man, in them. They only contain Allah said and the Messenger said. That's what they the books of Aqidah. Because why? Because remember we studied this in Aqidah, that the Aqidah Tawqifiyya, لا مجال للرأي ولا للاجتهاد ولا تؤخذ من المنامات. That because the Aqidah is not taken from ijtihad of the people, nor from the opinions of man, nor what this country is upon or what this group is upon. It's not taken from dreams like the Sufis, extreme Sufis claim. Rather the sense, the aqidah deals with matters of the unseen, and no one knows the unseen but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only thing we know about the Jannah, about the angels, about the hellfire, about death, about the grave, it's only Allah said, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Shaykh, he said, Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimahu ta'ala, so if he is describing, meaning he, it goes back to this man, to this divine man, Muhammad Surur. So if he is describing the Quran and the Sunnah as being coarse and dry, then this is apostasy from Islam, really. So this is ridda. So this is apostasy from Islam. Look, he didn't say the man apostated, okay? That's two different things. The Shaykh, he didn't say this man murtad. Because the ulama, they mentioned there's a qa'ida that a person may make a statement of kufr, but does not apply on him the kufr. Unless certain steps are taken by those who are qualified. Okay? Sheikh Fawzan, recently, a couple of weeks ago, he was asked a very important question. He said, Ya Sheikh, takfir, to rule someone a disbeliever, whose right is that? So that's only for the judge. Only for the judge, lil hakim, lil qadi. The Qadi, for the judge. He says, because the judge, he brings this man and establishes the proof against him. Because that man who made the statement of kufr or action of kufr, maybe he don't know, maybe he's confused, maybe this, maybe that. Ta'wil. So he says, the judge will bring that person and establish the proof, make things clear to them. And if they persist on that, because the judge, he's the one who carry out the punishment. Nobody else. Okay? Al-Amr laysa fawda. Anyway, the Shaykh, he says, then this is apostasy from Islam. This is a vile and disgusting statement. Then he was asked about the ruling on selling this book, to which he replied, if this statement is found in it, then it is not permissible to sell it. Rather, it is obligatory to destroy it. Hassan al-Turabi, an Ikhwani Halik, a deviant Sudani from Sudan. It's good to know the names. Because sometimes a person may come to you and give you a CD, oh, this Hassan al-Turabi is a good man. Yeah, he may give a nice lecture on, I don't know, Qiyam al-Layl, for instance. Okay, and then that's it. Maybe he give a powerful lecture on Qiyam al-Layl, for instance, or fasting Mondays and Thursdays, and then that's it. But you need to know who this man, Hassan al-Turabi. Hassan al-Turabi, Khirrij Inglaterra. Yeah, he's this man. He's an Ikhwani and a very, very dangerous man, Hassan al-Turabi, from Sudan. Hassan al-Turabi made a similar statement to that of Muhammad Surur when he said, in order to properly understand the creed today, it is necessary to absolve ourselves from the knowledge of rhetorical speech of old and to instead turn to a new kind of knowledge that is not confined to the Salaf. This is Hassan al-Turabi. You see? Gotta come with new ways. وكل خير في اتباع من سلف وكل شر في ابتداع من خلف. That's why now you understand the statements of the ulama. Good, all good is in adhering to the way of the Salaf, and the evil resides on adopting the ways of the Khalaf. So this man, he also said, Hassan al-Turabi, we must look into the principles of Islamic fiqh. In my opinion, he's still talking, this man, Hassan al-Turabi, this deviant man. He says, in my opinion, the safe and pure investigation of the principles of Islamic fiqh begins with the Qur'an, of which it is clear that we are in need for it to undergo a new interpretation. People, man, subhanAllah, now certain people still follow them on this evil. If you read the tafsir books that are widely spread amongst us today, he's still talking, okay? He said, if you read the tafsir books that are widely spread amongst us today, you will find that they are connected to the affairs of the times in which they were produced. Each of these tafsir books explains the mentality of each time, except for this time. Except for this time. And then he continued by saying, we are not able to find a modern day tafsir that is complete and comprehensive. I think maybe, Allahu A'lam, maybe he said this, he didn't hear about the Dilal of Sayyid Qutb. So the Ikhwan al-Muslimin, the Qutbiyin, they're like, look, Fi Dilal al-Qur'an, the tafsir of which is filled with dalal and misguidance and even shirk, wal-iyadu billah. Maybe this man didn't know about it, or I don't know. Or maybe he wants to call to his own, Allahu A'lam. And this taken from the book, The Revival of Islamic Thinking, by him, by himself, At-Turabi. Look, The Revival of Islamic Thinking by At-Turabi, page 42 and 25, printed in Ad-Dar al-Saudiyyah. That doesn't mean nothing. Okay? Allah musta'an. It is good and bad whenever you go. So I say, this is the brother, the Abu Jamal Farihan. He said, I say he means by these words of his that the Quran should be interpreted according to the desires of the people during the various different eras. But he doesn't know that the tafsir of the Qur'an is dependent and limited to a restricted number of sources. Not like everybody want to tamper with the Qur'an. Every group of people come and extract the tafsir they want from the ayah. No, he said that this is science of tafsir. It's restricted and limited, he says, to a number of sources, which are, number one, interpretation of the Qur'an by the Qur'an itself. Ayats explain other ayats in the Qur'an. Number two, interpretation of the Qur'an by the Sunnah. The Sunnah explains the Qur'an. And number three, interpretation of the Qur'an by the statements of the Sahaba. The ulama, they says, because they witnessed the Qur'an. And they are trustworthy, udul. They are the best of this ummah. Praised by the Prophet ﷺ, Allah is pleased with them. And number four, the interpretation of the Quran by the requisites of the language it was revealed in, meaning Arabic. So these are the steps and the sources of tafsir. Number one, the interpretation of the Quran by the Quran itself. You find a ruling or an ayah mentioned in general in one chapter, you will find it in another place in detail, alhamdulillah. Number two, the interpretation of the Quran by the Sunnah, okay? And number three, the interpretation of the Quran by the statements of the Sahaba. And number four, the interpretation of the Quran by the Arabic language. Because the Quran was revealed in the Arabic language. So the ulama, they go back to grammar and to other tools, balagha and the like. They go there and they use that to understand the ayah. And that's how sometimes people go wrong, because they don't know these things. So the tafsir of the Quran must follow the sequence of these four sources. Furthermore, these sources do not differ or change with the changing of times or the changing of the conditions of people. You see? So this is mafhum. So look, this is only like, if you want to talk about this Muhammad Sarur and his mistakes and his problems and his chaos, it's a mad. But that should be enough. Likewise, this man Hassan al-Turabi, this Ikhwani, you know, it's subhanAllah, his mistakes and his errors. But now you know these people, they are not upon the Sunnah. You don't need more than this. People calling like, look, you need new interpretation of the Quran according to what they want the people know, so they can people be upon their ideologies. وَلَيَّنِ بِاللَّهِ. So we got to remember these names whenever, because we mentioned Hassan al-Banna before, and he's one of the deviants, he's the founders of Ikhwan al-Muslimin, who are causing much trouble these days all over. And we mentioned Sayyid Qutb, who is the founder of the Takfiris and the Khawarij in this time. His books called to Takfir, وَلْعِيَدُ بِاللَّهِ and to Chaos. And this guy, Muhammad Surur, now Hassan al-Turabi. So remember these names, Ikhwan. So if you see their YouTubes, their clips, their statements, books, be aware of these things. You see Muhammad Surur, that's a red flag right there. Hassan Turabi, red flag. Hassan al-Banna, Sayyid Qutb, Muhammad Qutb, red flag, inshallah ta'ala. And has nothing to do because they are Arabs and non-Arabs from this country or the other. No, it has to do with the falsehood they spread it. And because they opposed the Manhaj al-Salaf, that was the Sahaba, Ridwanullah alayhim, they were upon. Question number 30. What is the ruling on the religious plays and Islamic anasheed? What they call them in English, the Hindus anasheed? It's the H-Y-M-N-S.
Hymns.
Huh? Hymns. The N is silent. It's not sound. The N.
H-Y-M-N-S?
Yeah.
Hymns.
Yes. Okay. Hymns. Like anasheed, they call them anasheed. You heard this term, anasheed? Tayyib, hymns. So what is the ruling on the religious? See, they call them religious play. You know the play? You know play, the regular play, right? Everybody know that? It's like in the theater, but it's live. Instead they display a movie, clip or something. Now there is like this man play in front of an audience. And sometimes it be only one man. Sometimes two, sometimes men and women, sometimes the man, he played the role of a shaitan. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ Many, many things. So, that's, they call them religious plays. And Islamic anasheed. That some of the youth perform in the summer schools. Or summer camps, actually. Summer camps, okay? Because the Ikhwan al-Muslimin, they are known with this. The Sheikh, he mentioned that in the beginning of this book. The ruling of the anasheed and the like. And the Ikhwan al-Muslimun, they are known with this. They take, this is how they started. So they start like in areas, they always, see the Ikhwani, they always target the youth and the students. Because they know there's many students, and they like, look, these people, inshallah, most likely, they gonna get jobs, you see? Some of them gonna be doctors, some gonna be engineers, some gonna be lawyers, some gonna be big guys, some gonna be elected in the parliament. Maybe one of them be the ruler. So they work on these people. And they start from an old age, like from the elementary school, and they will have programs. And they're like what? And they're like, look, we want to take care of the youth. Your children, bring them to us. And then they take them to the mountain for camping, for example. Okay, for a month or a couple of weeks. And the parents, masakin, what they do, they just give their children here to these people, strangers. But they have association, they have a building and a, what they call it?
Organization.
They have an organization, ahsan. They have an organization with the name and this, whatever. Of course they put some fees. Now the children, not only that they teach them the bid'ah and innovation, but the parents pay for them. They pay for that. Okay, here. And then they take those children to these camps. No tawheed, no aqidah, nothing. No sunnah. Plays. They play and anasheed. And this anasheed contains Torah. Contains like they. So those children, they year after year, they already like filled with hatred towards the rulers, towards this, towards that. So later on, they be easy for them to, whatever, to guide them wherever they want to put them in. Illa man rahim Allah, from those that Allah, except for those that Allah has protected. The answer. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan Hafizahullah says, I do not hold plays to be permissible because, first, I'm going to go back to the comments. We'll read to you what the Sheikh Fawzan says, Hafidahullah. He says, first, they distract and preoccupy the audience. Says the viewers look at the movement of the actor and laugh. For the most part, the objective behind plays is to entertain and amuse the audience only. And this is from one perspective. We're going to go back. Well, let's go back to read the footnotes. Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd, one of the Mashaykh, rahimahullah, he died a couple years ago, he says, as for its appearance in the religious ceremonies of non-Muslims, then it has been confirmed by some researchers that the origin of these plays come from the religious pagan rituals performed by the ancient Greeks. See where the Ikhwan take their stuff from? Sahaba, none of them did these plays. Or imma of a tabi'in, like the Greeks now. Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah talked about what the Christians do during their holiday. Palm Sunday. You know Palm Sunday? What's a Palm Sunday?
The week before Easter.
Saying, they bring out leaves from the olive tree or its likes, thinking that they are reenacting what happened to the Messiah. Right? You heard that before? To the Messiah, meaning Isa alayhi salam, peace be on him. Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd also quoted this in his book At-Tamthil, where he went on to say, from page 27-28, so when you come to know that plays were cut off from existence during the days of the first three righteous generations of Muslims, see? People that used to do it and this, okay? He said, so when you come to know that plays were cut off from existence during the days of the first three righteous generations of Muslims, and that it was non-existent for a period of time, and that in the 14th Hijri century, the entertainment houses and theater halls will come down. Then it crept from the rituals of the Christians to the sects promoting religious plays in the schools and Islamic groups. the brother, the Shaykh Jamal bin Furayhan, he says, I say such as al-Ikhwan al-Muslimun sect. For they're the ones that are known with this. And Ashid and place, al-Ikhwan al-Muslimun. Bakr Abu Zaid continued with saying, when you come to know this, they know that the foundations and principles of the religion require that it be rejected. This place and anarchy is rejected. It is well known that actions can either be acts of worship or customs. Imma ibadat aw adat. The foundation with regard to acts of worship is that none of them are legislated in Islam except for those that Allah has sanctioned. Meaning we do not act upon any act of worship just because it looks nice or feel nice or many people are doing it. No. It has to be legislated first. Istadilla thumma taqib. La ta'taqib thumma tastadil fatadil. No, you learn first, then you act upon that. Al-ibadah tawqifiyya. Al-ibadah tawqifiyya. The ibadah, when you come to an act of worship, this is from Allah, because this is the deen of Allah. Min Allah al-risala, wa'ala al-rasul al-bala, wa'alayna al-ittiba. Because this message of Islam is from Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ, he's the one who was ordered and chosen to convey this message, and it's upon everybody else to comply with this message. So when it comes to ibadat, it's not like, look man, that's how you do it in your country, I'm happy for you. So leave me alone, brother. This is how we do. This is how I grow up. This is not how I look. Now that will be okay if that person talking about the food. Okay, akhi, that's how you eat your chicken. I'm happy for you. Chicken halal, you cook it your way. It's spicy. I'm happy for you. These people, they put sweet on it, akhi, honey. Chicken with honey, so what? Now some people like honey chicken. That's terrible. Just look, man. Hot pepper on honey, that's terrible. It's no problem. That's how you eat, it's okay. You speak different dialects, it's no problem. You're not going to bring thing to the deen of Allah and say, look, well, this is how you guys believe, and this is how you make dua, this is what how you look at the righteous people, oh, this is how you look at the angels, oh, this is how you guys look at what's going to happen on Yawm al-Qiyamah, oh, good for you. But in our country, this is what they taught us. It goes back to what Allah reveals, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, it is well known that actions can either be acts of worship or custom. And the foundation with regard to acts of worship is that none of them are legislated in Islam except for those that Allah has sanctioned. And the foundation with regard to custom is that none of them are forbidden except for that which Allah has forbidden. So this is the opposite. When it comes to any act of worship, no one has the right to act upon anyone until he knows for sure that this is what Allah has legislated in his book or in the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So nobody come up with a prayer, with a dua, with a fast, with a tawaf, sa'i, or any act of worship that is not found in the Quran and the Sunnah the Sahaba never heard of. Like the dua after Salat in congregation. Keep in mind those people they play with the minds of the people. If you go to those people and tell them, Ikhwan, this dua you're making is not from Islam. It's not from the Sunnah. They said, Subhanallah, dua is bad now, haram. So it's hard. Now you're saying dua is haram, and Allah says, the Prophet is, we have books of Hisn al-Muslim, all of it full of dua, and now you, the Salafi guy, come and tell us after all these 14 centuries that dua is haram. You see? That's not. Is that person was telling him dua is haram? Huh? He wasn't telling him that. He was telling them what you're doing. This dua that you're doing at this time, in this way, where is it? You prove it. That's why you have to be careful when you talk to the people. Just go to them and say, hey, I see you guys making dua, which, hey, you agree with me that dua is ibadah, is one of the best acts of worship. Allah loves it. Allah commands us to call upon him, get his ayats, maybe you, the imam of the masjid, you know them. However, this way of you doing this dua after every congregational salah, together in congregation, is it sanctioned? Is it, did Allah command us to that? Did the Prophet ﷺ? That's it. That's what you do. If they say yes, tell them, Hatu burhanakum in kuntum sadiqeen. Bring the proof if you are truthful. If they say no, tell them, so why you're doing it? If it's no, if the Prophet ﷺ didn't do it, the Sahaba didn't do it, so why you're doing it? Then they have only two things to tell you. Whether to say, SubhanAllah, you're right, huh? Allahu musta'an. We never pay attention to this. Or they're going to say to you, what? Are you a member here? Get out of here, man. Don't come here. You're a troublemaker. Don't come to our masjid anymore. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ. That's not their masjid. There's no such thing as Somali masjid, Ethiopian Oromo masjid, Tigrinya masjid, Fulani masjid, Walufi masjid, masjid only for the Arabs, masjid only for black, masjid only for Spanish, masjid only for white. Hey, if you don't like it, it's our masjid, brother, okay? Now don't bring nothing, get out of here. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ. The Muslims, they should cooperate with one another upon birr, upon good. Because this masjid is the masjid of Allah. Yes, it may be the first people who found it, alhamdulillah, may Allah reward them according to the intention, they may be from this country or this race or this color, right or wrong. Somebody has to start something. But does it mean that that's theirs, that masjid belongs to them? This is the masjid. They are the houses of Allah. But the people, they have to cooperate between one another regardless of their colors and their dialects and where they come from upon birr. Upon taqwa, not upon hizbiyya. Lord, listen, man, we're the majority here. You don't like it, get out of here. And that's what happened. That's why if you notice, sometimes the appearance of so many masajid, before you know it, oh, they open another masjid. Who are these people who open a masjid? Another tribe. Sometimes from the same country, by the way. Same country, because they couldn't agree. Okay, seven people, they go and open a masjid. Why? Because that's how it is. وَهَذَا جَهْلٌ. This is ignorance. And this is how they separate the ummah. The sunnah gathers. That's why they call Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And the sunnah unite the people upon the haqq. When the people are united upon the sunnah, doesn't matter. You go to a masjid, you find people from different nationalities, different colors, speak different dialects, eat different foods. If you will tell them, look, next Sunday we're having a, mashallah, a cookout, everybody bring a dish, you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed of the variety of food, which is good for us. Alhamdulillah. And sometimes when they bring their children and they start talking, if you pay attention, you're running by this brother, he's talking to his child in this dialect. You don't even know what it is. What is that, khay? Oh, it's Urdu. Urdu, Allahu Akbar. You pass by, what is this? Oh, Aroma. What is this? Swahili. What is this? Bambara. What is this? Hausa. This is Wolof. This is Dutch. What is this? Russian. Is this? You know what I'm talking about. Yes, yeah, slang. Is it slang a language, Rafi? Don't try to push it in there, man. But it's okay, no problem with us, Yahi. It's okay. But now the time for Salat comes. How are they going to pray? How are they going to call the Adhan? What are they going to do after the Adhan? It's amazing, Yahi, how the people do. We're supposed to do the same thing. Same thing. We pray in the same way. We make dua in the same way. Because we are Muslims and we have this beautiful religion that is preserved and that is complete and it is mashallah. All we have to do is to learn and follow Barakallah. Now, so it's very important for us to remember this, what the Shaykh has mentioned. So that when it comes to acts of worship, You don't do anything unless you know that this is from the deen of Allah. And when it comes to customs, adat, everything is mashallah, it's okay, unless we have a dalil that says this is haram. Food, for example, eat what you want. That's the rule. You don't say, keep asking, banana haram or halal? Milk haram, halal? This bread haram, halal? This cheese haram, halal? Goat haram, halal? Pigeons haram, halal? Yeah, eat. But if you have a text that this is haram, leave it alone. You see? But the ibadah, you don't just like keep acting, do whatever until, no. You learn first before you act, before you perform any act of worship. But when it comes to the adat, what you wear, where you live, what you eat, what you do, where you, this is stuff that is from customs, adat, then inshallah, how you sit, how you walk, how you sleep. Then once you learn that something is not permissible, then you leave it alone. For example, in clothing, you wear what you want. But the Prophet ﷺ, he tells us silk is haram for the male of this ummah. Now you don't mess with silk. The gold is haram for this ummah. You don't mess with gold. The clothing that are specific to the kuffar, no, you don't mess with those clothing. فيها شعاراتهم أو دعوة إلى ذلك. You leave it alone. Okay? You know, some people, they go to the store. Is this haram? Is this haram? Maybe call Abu Muhammad. Yeah, hey, you go for shopping? If you know something haram, then leave it alone. You know, because these principles and these qawaid are very important. They make your life easy. So the Sheikh Bakr, rahimahullah, said, so based on this, it is not permissible to conduct religious plays as acts of worship or for the purpose of enjoying a celebration. As for religious plays, then there is no sanction for them in the religion. So it is an innovative method, and the Prophet ﷺ says, whoever introduced into our command, meaning the sunnah, that which is not part of it, will have it rejected. And we're going to stop here, inshallah ta'ala. We'll continue. And next time, had wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullahu khairan.